In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a privilege to be here tonight, to have driven up from the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, to be here back in the wonderful Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The topic I was asked to speak on is shaping your child's soul. And what a wonderful topic it is, and I know many of you are parents of students here at Regina Chaley, that wonderful Catholic school. So I do hope and pray all of you will receive some good messages from the Holy Spirit tonight to help you in forming and shaping your child's soul. It's certainly an awesome responsibility and a wonderful gift to have children and to be able to raise them in the practice of the faith and to realize that these are immortal souls that God has entrusted to your care. And the fact that you want to be able to inform the intellect of your child so that they will learn the truth, and also to inspire the will of the child to love God and love neighbor. So a wonderful, awesome responsibility it is to be a parent and to help to shape your child's soul. So what I thought about doing tonight was just giving you 7 ideas. And the easy way for me to remember these ideas, and I'm sure the easy way for you to remember them, is to use the title that I was given, Shaping Your Child's Soul, and use the word shaping, because that has 7 words, 7 letters, and it will give you 1 idea for every letter in that word. We start out first by talking about what is the purpose and the goal of marriage as well as parenting, and that is sanctity. So the S in shaping stands for sanctity. That's our goal. That's our burning desire, is to become a saint, to bring your spouse to heaven, and your children to heaven as well. And the best way to shape your child's soul is to you yourself have a desire to become a saint. If you have that burning desire, if you have that goal, then you will pass on that to your children. They will see that example in your prayer life, and that will help them to become a saint as well. Those of you who have been on an airplane recently know that before it takes off, the pilot comes over the intercom and says, in case of cabin pressure change, the masks will drop. Put on your own mask first, and then what? Then help your child with his or her mask. That's a good analogy for the spiritual life, that if you are growing in holiness, in your prayer life, in your relationship with the Lord and the Blessed Mother, then you'll be able to help all the more your children become saints as well. Oftentimes people will ask, well, should I try to push my kids, you know, to pass the faith on and push them to come closer to God or to the church? And the way I like to describe it, it says, don't push them, pull them. Pull them with your life. Be attractive, be a magnet, pulling your children and grandchildren closer to the Lord by your prayers, your example, and by your love. What are some of the things that you can do to help pass on the faith to your children, to help shape and form their souls? Well, first of all, pray for them. When you go to daily Mass, daily Holy Communion, offer your Masses and Communion for your kids and your grandkids. It's a powerful moment, because when the Lord is within you in Holy Communion, in a sense, He will listen to whatever you have to say. When He's inside of you, you can say, Lord, bless my kids, bless my grandkids. So offer your Mass and Communion. I know many of the moms in my parish, many of them go to daily Mass, and they offer many of their communions for their kids or their grandkids. In your spiritual life, make sure that you yourself are growing closer to the Lord. And I especially recommend 3 things. Make sure you go to regular confession, at least once a month. Make sure you go to frequent Holy Communion, and then have spiritual reading and mental prayer. So that's really the triangle. If you want to grow closer to God, combine those 3 things. The Eucharist, confession, spiritual reading from the Bible, and the lives of the saints. And that'll be a powerful triangle. And once if you're doing that, then your kids will see that growth and holiness in you, and they'll be inspired as well. The second letter in shaping is H, and that stands for honor. Honor is at the heart of all the 10 commandments. We have, for example, the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, to worship no false god. And then, of course, to honor the Lord's name, to honor the Lord's day, to honor your parents, to honor the sanctity of life, to honor the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of other people's property. All at the basis of all Ten Commandments is the idea of honor, honoring God and honoring one's neighbor. So the point I'd like to get across is to make sure that you honor your children and honor your spouse, honor your children, and if they see that honor coming from you, then they will honor and respect you as well. Respect and reverence for the sanctity of the child. Think of some of the quotes that our Lord says in Scripture. He says, "Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, that you do unto me." He says, "The kingdom of God belongs to a little child." He says, "Unless we change and become like little children, we will not enter into the kingdom of God." So the Lord had the utmost respect for the dignity and the sanctity of the child. This is echoed as well in the writings of Pope John Paul II. In all his writings, he talked about the dignity of the human person, that everyone is made in the image and likeness of God, and especially the young children, that we owe them tremendous reverence and respect because of the fact that they are made in God's image and likeness. And Jesus even says, their angels in heaven are always beholding the Heavenly Father's face. I'd encourage you to read the writings of the great Catholic educator of the last century, Maria Montessori, who also talked about the dignity and the respect that we should have for a child. And to try to instill in that child a great respect and a great self-worth and self-dignity that the child should have as a child of God, made in God's image and likeness. Think of Our Lady and St. Joseph's attitude towards the Christ child. Think of how Our Lady and St. Joseph treated the Lord. And that's the perfect example of how the parents should honor and respect their child as well. So make sure that that idea of honor and respect is present between spouses and between parents and children. I remember once in a CCD class, the kids were asked to write out the Ten Commandments. And when the teacher got to number four, she saw the kid had written, instead of honor your father and mother, the child wrote, humor your father and your mother. And then the teacher said, well, you know, it's honor your father and mother, but what commandment has to do with relationships between brothers and sisters? And one boy says, I know. The teacher says, what is it? The boy says, thou shalt not kill. So the basis of all the Ten Commandments is respect and honor. So try to get that point across within your family. The third ingredient in how to shape your child's soul is the letter A, which stands for the apostolate. The apostolate, trying to have your child belong to some sort of an organization or prayer group or organization within the Catholic Church, in which your child will be able to be an evangelist, to be of service to God and humanity. We think of some of the great organizations in the Catholic Church today, and now even for young people, we should get them involved in becoming evangelists from a young age. Informing and shaping your child's soul, try to get them doing acts of service towards others, visiting the nursing home, making rosaries, going out to visiting the homebound or the shut-ins. And for me, of course, since I was 10 years of age now, or what, 32 years ago, I joined the Legion of Mary as a little kid. I've remained a member of the Legion now for the past 32 years. And for me, that was a wonderful way not only to deepen my prayer life, but also to be involved in the apostolate, in evangelization, in serving God and neighbor. The beautiful thing about the Legion is that it perfectly combines prayer, study of the faith, and evangelization. And it teaches a child at a young age the importance of being apostolic. So your goal as parents is not just to produce Catholic children, produce apostolic Catholic children, produce children that will build up the church and the body of Christ. Father Faber once said, if you don't convert the world will convert you. So in your passing on the faith to your children, don't just teach them to be good Catholics, teach them to be apostolic Catholics, and something like the Legion of Mary can help them from a very early age. In my own parish, we have 5 Legion of Mary groups, 3 for adults, 2 for the kids. And the kids do such beautiful work. Not only do they make rosaries, but they go out, visit the nursing homes, the shut-ins. They go out to visit families with newly baptized babies. In the last 4 years, about 3.5 years, I baptized 600 babies in my parish. My first pastor once told me when I got to his parish that everybody was pregnant in the parish except for me and him. And that's how I feel in my new parish as well. There are lots of wonderful babies, lots of wonderful families. But the junior legionaries go out and they welcome the children into God's family. They give them miraculous medals and do all sorts of wonderful works. So I encourage you to consider the Junior Legion of Mary for your own children. They will learn the true devotion. They will learn what it means to be consecrated to Christ through the hands of the Blessed Mother. The next letter in shaping is P, and that stands for protect. Protect and promote. Protect and safeguard your child's innocence. Protect and safeguard really the sanctity and the holiness that is given to them in their baptism, where they have become a child of God. What do we need to protect our children from? Well, there's all sorts of evil in our society. You have the world, the flesh, and the devil, as the Catechism says. And of course, the media is not our friend. Recently, Peter Kreeft gave a talk here in Philadelphia, and he mentioned a 1992 study which compared the average American to the media. And for example, in 1992, 55% of Americans attended church service on a regular basis, but only 9% of the media attends religious services regularly. 82% of Americans thought that abortion was wrong, but only 3% of the media think that abortion is wrong. In America, only 5% of Americans think adultery would be acceptable, but almost 50% of the media think that adultery is acceptable. So realize that we're living in a neo-pagan age, and realize you have to safeguard and protect your child's holiness and innocence from the dangers of the modern society. We see that the media, especially through television, music, the internet, movies, can really try to harm your child. And so what you want to do is protect and safeguard your child as much as possible from the evils of modern society. And then try to promote the good things, promote what is true, what is good, what is beautiful, what is virtuous. Try to develop Catholic culture within your child through an appreciation of music, even at a young age, appreciation of art and literature as the child grows up. And I'd especially recommend especially when the child is young, to start taking them through the stories of the Bible. I know that there's wonderful Catholic Bibles for children that are so good. The Father Lavasic series of books are excellent, to the Lives of the Saints. And then as the child grows up, I would recommend those books by Mary Fabian Windeyap, those excellent books on the Lives of the Saints. And talking to some of our homeschooling moms and moms that send their kids to good Catholic schools, they also recommend as the child grows up the writings of C.S. Lewis, like the Chronicles of Narnia and other things, and eventually Tolkien and The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings series, which have many Catholic themes and Catholic thought. So make use of the good literature that's available. And then to try to also make use of some of the media that can be used. Things like television or movies can be used for great good or great harm. Those CCC movies that are so good on the lives of the saints, most of my moms in the parish have all the movies that they've produced. And I asked them, well, what are some of the other movies that your kids really like that help form their soul? And the moms and dads have said, well, The Song of Bernadette, The Ten Commandments, The Life of St. Francis of Assisi, The Miracle of Fatima, and many others that are out there as well. So make use of the good aspects of the media that we have, and then try to eliminate and protect the child from the harmful influence of the media. The next letter in shaping your child's soul is I. And that stands for other influences that are out there. And again, be very careful of some of the influences that are out in our modern society. There was a study done recently that compared the 5 major influences on a child from the 1950s as compared to today. It was amazing to hear what the results were. Back in the 1950s, the number one influence on a child was the parents and the family. You know, parents, grandparents, brothers, and sisters. That was the number one influence. Number two was the school, the teachers, the coaches. Number three was the church, the local parish priest and the nuns. Fourth were friends. And then fifth was the media. This is 1950s. Now, 50 years have gone by, and realize what we have now as the influence on the kids today. Number one is their friends. Number two is the media. Number three is parents and family members. Number four is school, and number five, the church or the parish. Imagine that. In just 50 years, things have almost been reversed. Now, how can you combat that? How can you change what's going on in our society? Well, of course, the key is to have more influence over the children, and to try to eliminate and cut back the influence that the media, for example, that others have upon your child. That's why homeschooling is growing so rapidly in our country. Good Catholic homeschooling, good Catholic schools are popping up all over. In our Diocese of Arlington, we have three or four schools like Regina Chaley here that are teaching the Orthodox Catholic faith to the children. So what can you do to try to promote good influences on your children? Well, of course, first of all, is to try to spend as much time with your kids as you can. Kids spell love, not L-O-V-E, but T-I-M-E. So spend time with the kids. Try to incorporate the presence of the grandparents and the children's godparents. Hopefully you've chosen good godparents that will stay close to the child. Try to stay close to other good Catholic families that might also send the kids to a good school or that homeschool. And realize that the presence of kids or other parents or coaches or priests or nuns can still make a dramatic impact in helping to shape your child's soul. The next letter is N, and that stands for nature. The last letter is G, which stands for grace. See, St. Thomas Aquinas said that grace builds upon nature. So we should look first for a few moments at some of the natural things that can be done to shape your child's soul, and then end with talking about the grace and what can we do from the order of grace to shape the child's soul. So first of all, in the order of nature, what can we do in the natural order? Well, we should try to promote among the children good habits of order and virtue, and try to realize that these natural virtues are very important, because then the supernatural virtues can be placed upon them. The supernatural virtues, things like faith, hope, and charity, and then the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, these are so important, but they need a good foundation. Even the Empire State Building, as high up as it is, it's also six stories underground. That's the foundation. So in your passing on the faith to your children, try to establish good natural virtues as well. Things like developing kindness or generosity, humility, cooperation, responsibility, obedience, order. These are some of the natural virtues upon which God's grace can then build. Self-discipline, of course, is, I think, one of the most important virtues that you can develop in a child. The best definition of self-discipline I've heard is that discipline is doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. One of your main jobs as parents is to help to instill this idea of helping the child to grow in these good order, in habits of discipline and self-responsibility. If you do that, they will, if they develop these good habits, it will make their life so much easier if you can give them good habits and help them to govern the life of your child. Even things like generosity, teaching your child to tithe, to give 10% to charity. Try to have them live by the 70-20-10 rule, which is live on 70% of their allowance, invest 20%, and give 10% to charity. And because when the child forms these good habits when they're young, then as they get older, they won't have to get into financial trouble. I remember one husband said he gave his wife plastic surgery. He took away her credit card. Okay, so we don't want to have plastic surgery if we can't control things like this. So if we, give 10% to charity, and then invest a certain amount, teaching a child from this young age, if they make a dollar for an allowance, let them spend some of it, let them give 10% of that to charity. These habits can make a big difference for the future of their life. So in the natural order, within the family, try try to promote a household of love, peace, and joy, where there is acceptance and encouragement and good communication and lots of affection between parents and children. One author says that a child needs 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for well-being, and 12 hugs a day for emotional growth. So keep that in mind. Are you giving your child those 12 hugs a day? So develop natural virtues. One of the moms I talked to said that they've gone through the Book of Virtues by Bill Bennett. And every night they'll read a few passages and trying to develop the natural virtues within the child. Which brings us to the last idea that I want to share with you tonight. And that is the idea of grace. And all the parents I talked to, they all said, everything is grace. We can do our part, but God said, the Lord said, without God, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. So the formation of your child's soul, shaping your child's soul, is a work of grace. And so the best thing you can do is to get down on your knees before the Blessed Sacrament and pray for your child. Because how do we get grace? We get grace through prayer, through penance, through sacrifice, and then through the sacraments. When you, as a parent, what I'd recommend is making use of the sacraments of the Church and the sacramentals of the Church to pass on the faith to your children. What about the sacraments? Well, in baptism, your child receives sanctifying grace within their soul. So make sure that you have your child baptized as soon as possible after birth, so that the child receives the gift of sanctifying grace as soon as possible. Even before that, though, as a mother, if you're expecting a baby, well, every time you go to Holy Communion, your child is spiritually nourished by that communion that you receive. When the priest gives you a blessing, the child receives a blessing as well. So the spiritual formation of your child doesn't start when it's born. It starts at the moment of conception. It starts in the womb. All the communions you receive, all the times you go to confession, there's a special grace, I'm sure, that the child receives as well. But I recommend that every year on the anniversary of your child's baptism, you celebrate the baptismal anniversary by saving one of the child's birthday presents and give it to them on their baptismal day. Light the baptismal candle that was given to them. Bring out the baptismal garment. Watch the video. Look at the pictures. And celebrate the child's baptism each year. And what a great thing it is. And if you celebrate the baptism and give the child a present, he or she will never let you forget the day of their baptism. Right? Every kid knows their birthday because they get presents, but how few know the day of their baptism? And then First Communion, the First Confession. These sacraments are so wonderful, so special to in the life of forming the child's soul. It's one of your jobs as parents is to help form their conscience, to go through the examination of conscience, to help them make their first confession well, and then to go to regular confession. So many times that kids make their first confession, and the next time they're in confession is right before their confirmation 6 years later. We have to make sure that doesn't happen. Make sure that you take your child to regular confession, maybe on the first Saturday of every month, for example. And then frequent Holy Communion. Since the Eucharist is the source of grace, it's Christ himself, try to take your child to communion as often as possible. And I'm sure in the Catholic schools or homeschoolers are able to do this on a regular basis. And I've noticed that parents, whenever the child starts to stray, they bring the child to confession. And then things begin to go a lot better within the home. You'll notice that between husbands and wives as well. If there starts to be impatience or irritability, go to confession, and that will strengthen the marriage as well as the family life. And then your child's confirmation, the day they become an adult within the Church, it is very powerful, very special to help the child prepare for his or her confirmation. To pick a saint's name and have that saint be the example and the role model that the child can follow as the child grows up. And make sure that you tell your children that the invisible realities of our faith are more important than what we see. For example, in baptism, all we see is water being poured, and yet the inner reality is the most important thing that's happening. The washing away of original sin, the gift of the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity, sanctifying grace within the soul. All the sacraments have a much greater invisible reality than what we see on the surface. Look at what happens in confession. when somebody goes to confession, when the priest gives absolution, Bishop Sheen says, the blood of Christ drips from his fingers onto the person, and the blood of Christ washes away that person's sins. Remember, the Lord suffered so much for our sins. You saw the movie The Passion of the Christ. You know how much the Lord suffered for our sins. When we go to confession, his blood washes us away, washes away our sins in confession. So the inner reality, the invisible element, is very powerful to teach your children about the inner realities. The Eucharist has the appearance of bread and wine, but the inner reality is Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. So the sacraments are the seven main channels of grace for your child to help shape their soul. And lastly, the sacramentals, I think, can help as well. And sometimes it's the sacramentals that can help lead people back to the sacraments. Sacramentals would be things like holy water, things like a crucifix, a statue of Our Lady. Kids love visual aids. They love ashes on Ash Wednesday. They love palms on Palm Sunday. I remember one child came home from the Mass on Ash Wednesday, and he says, Mom, is it true that we are dust, and unto dust we shall return? And the mother says, yes, that's true. And the boy says, Mommy, better go check under my bed. There's somebody down there, either coming or going. So the ashes, the palms on Palm Sunday, visual aids are so important. Things like holy cards. Growing up, we collected baseball cards, football cards. What about holy cards? Have your child start a holy card collection using sacramentals. Make sure that there's holy water in your house. If you haven't had the house blessed, invite the priest over. I do house blessings about five nights a week. Usually around dinner time is when I show up to bless these houses. Sacred Heart Enthronement. Those are Sacred Heart Enthronement. That's a sacramental presence of the Lord within the home. Having a statue of Our Lady. Having the child wear the brown scapular or the miraculous medal. Having the rosary. Praying the rosary as a family, or praying the rosary a few times a week or every day as a family, can be a great blessing. Making use of what the church gives us, Advent wreaths, Advent calendars, all these things can be a big help in passing on the faith to your child. So these are the seven sacraments, are channels of God's grace. The sacramentals are very helpful in helping to shape the soul of your child. So don't neglect them, because the child is so open and so receptive to the grace of God at that time. I guess we can conclude by saying, well, in looking over this list of the seven ideas of striving for sanctity yourself and praying that your child will become a saint, honoring and respecting the dignity of the child, getting them involved in the apostolate of the church, protecting them from the evil influences of our society and promoting Catholic culture, and trying to eliminate the bad influences and trying to foster good influences, and then establishing good habits in the order of nature, and then leading the child to the order of grace through the sacraments and sacramentals, we could really summarize all of these ideas in one sentence, really, is do your best and God will do the rest. I asked the parents, how much in forming your child's soul is God's grace and how much is your part? And every one of them said, it's all God's grace. And yet, parents have to do their share and their part as well in trying to pass on the faith. So in a lot of ways, just don't worry. Trust yourself and your children to the care of the Blessed Mother. Consecrate them to Our Lady, because all is safe with Our Lady. She'll always lead the child and yourself closer to the Lord. I know when I was born and baptized, and my sisters as well, my parents consecrated us to the Blessed Mother on the day of our baptism. And all of the 600 babies I baptized in the last 3 years, every one at the end of the ceremony, I always pray the Hail Mary with the family, and we consecrate and entrust that child to the Blessed Mother as well. So I recommend this, that don't worry about your children. Pray for them and trust them to the Blessed Mother. Say your rosary for them every single day, because the rosary is Our Lady's mantle. If you pray the rosary every day for someone, like St. Monica prays for her son Augustine, the child will not be lost. Your kids and your grandkids are safe if you consecrate them to Jesus through the hands of our Blessed Mother. So I'd recommend making the De Montfort consecration St. Louis de Montfort teaches us about the importance of consecration, to consecrate yourself, your family, and your child to the care of our Blessed Mother. She will keep them safe and lead them eventually to Christ and to eternal happiness in heaven. And realize that Mother Teresa, I think, summed it up perfectly when she said, God doesn't call us to be successful, He calls us to be faithful. And so keep that in mind. Your job is just to be the best, most faithful parent you can be, the best and most faithful spouse you can be, the best and most faithful Catholic you can be. And if you do these things, if you're faithful, then everything is in the hand of God. And realize that with God's grace, all things are possible. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In my own parish, we have the Junior Legion, which we start the kids at usually about second grade. After they make their first communion is about when we encourage the kids to join the Junior Legion. And one of our moms, who's the president of our Junior Legion, she loves that idea because after the child receives First Communion, they've received special graces, and now it's their turn to share the faith with other people. They've received Christ, now they need to share Christ. And so with her eight children, as each one comes along and makes their First Communion, then they get to join the Legion, and that gets them to be apostolic. And then from that group of ages about 8 to about 11 or 12, they're in the Junior Presidium, and then once they reach a certain age, by about 13, we move them into what's called an Intermediate Presidium. And that group is for the teenagers, and we do have wonderful teenage kids in the parish that are involved in the Legion. We have them going out with the senior members, with the adult members, doing new parishioner visitations, welcoming families to the parish. We have them visiting auxiliary members. We have them taking the statue of Our Lady of Fatima around, the Pilgrim Virgin statue. They help with Sacred Heart enthronements. So they do a lot. And so to challenge the kids, to get them involved in some of these good works, the kids that are like 14, 16, 17 years of age, we even have them go door-to-door with some of our older, experienced legionaries that are very familiar with door-to-door. And I found that by getting the teenagers involved in these challenging works, it keeps them interested. And many of them are public school kids. They go to public school. I mean, a few are homeschooled. Some go to Catholic school. But we do try to have the group open to kids from homeschooling, Catholic school, or public school. It's certainly a challenge, but I would say if you can form these kids to be apostolic when they're in the pagan secular environment, they'll be able to explain and defend their faith. Make sure as parents you teach them the Bible and the Bible stories, because one day their faith will be challenged, whether it be by Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or when they go off to college. So teach them the Bible and teach them the basics of Catholic apologetics, why we believe in the Eucharist, the papacy, purgatory, Mary, the saints. Teach them the 5 or 10 basic truths of the faith and give them some scriptural reasons why we call priest father, or why we baptize babies, or where is purgatory in the Bible. These things, if you can equip the kids at a young age, when they're in the pagan environments of the public high schools, they'll have the resources to be able to explain and defend their faith. In our parish as well, there's some other wonderful groups as well. We have a Regnum Christi with the Legionaries of Christ. They offer conquest clubs for kids, where the kids do sports and receive some spiritual formation. We have the K for J program, the Kids for Jesus, and we also have the Virtue program, starting with the little kids. We also have Little Flowers for kids ages like 3 to 6, before they can even join the Legion of Mary. They can be in Little Flowers or the Blue Knights, and these are groups that the kids gather together and pray, study their faith, and start doing some corporal and spiritual works of mercy. There's a whole host of wonderful organizations out there that can help support parents that are looking for good things for their kids to do. Use opportunities as teaching moments. If they're having a discussion, or if they see, let's say, something on television, a commercial, or if they see or hear something, let's say from a grandparent or from an aunt or an uncle, that's not in accordance with the teachings of Christ and the Catholic Church, then use that as an opportunity to sit down with them and explain the true teachings of Christ and the Church. Because as they grow up, they're going to be exposed to all sorts of different philosophies and teachings. So use this as an opportunity. I know many of our moms and dads in the parish will sit down and talk to their kids about different events that have happened because the kids hear at school one thing or they hear from a relative something else. And so I would just say that God can bring good out of everything. And that's, look at the crucifixion. At the crucifixion, the crime of deicide, when we killed the Son of God. Well, God even brought good out of that, our salvation, our redemption. So God can bring good out of things. For example, if the kids hear something or if another relative tells them something that's not true, well, that's your time to sit down with them and to explain the true teachings of Christ. So in our society, we sort of live in a neo-pagan culture, so they're going to be hearing all sorts of things. The main thing is to develop that strong moral character in the child that they'll know right from wrong and that you can help them shape their soul and form their conscience. For some relatives, you want to have more time with them. For others, less time. So you just have to decide on, sort of look at the situation and say, yes, we can go have lunch with them, but we're not going to stay overnight. We're not going to spend a whole weekend with them. But we will, see them at different events. And then try to get as much good influence in the life of your child as possible. Good priests, good religious sisters, good coaches, other homeschooling moms or dads, especially as a child becomes a teenager. Sometimes they're not as open to listening to their own parents, but a teacher, a good Catholic teacher at school, or a good coach from a sports team, or their godparents can help them. That's an opportunity where sometimes if the child's not open to the parents, then at least you can bring in these other good mentors or adults to influence the child in a positive way. Because there's all sorts of, the church is very wonderful because the purpose, of course, is getting to heaven and becoming a saint. So there's many different paths you can take. Some are called to holiness through Opus Dei. Some are called to holiness through the Legion of Mary. Some through Regnum Christi. Some through the Knights of Columbus or St. Vincent de Paul Society or the Apostolate for Family Consecration. There are many different, some through Third Order Dominicans, Third Order Franciscans, Third Order Carmelites. What I would recommend is that you do some research, go talk to priests, go visit some of the different meetings, and give it a try, and see if the spirituality would be conducive to you helping you grow in holiness. Notice there's many different orders within the Catholic Church. If you look, they say there's only one thing God doesn't know is how many religious orders of women there are in the Catholic Church. You have the Sisters of Charity, the Sisters of Mercy. I mean, notice how many different orders there are in the Catholic Church. Franciscans, Jesuits, Augustinians, Dominicans, Benedictines. And those are different forms of spirituality. Some are called to the Franciscan way of life, like St. Francis and founding that, or St. Benedict, or St. Augustine. They all have the different avenues through which they pursued holiness. So you just have to study them, research them, try to learn about them, and see which one God is calling you to. Well, as far as dragging the kids here and there, depends on how old they are, and some of the, it also depends on the temperament of the child. Every child, it could be a little bit different. Some might do very well with visiting the nursing homes. Others, maybe they need to make rosaries for the time being. Maybe they have a difficult time at the nursing home, but hopefully in time they'll be able to do that kind of work as well. And also see what your child would be interested in, too. I would expose them to good different organizations. See which way the Holy Spirit is working in their life. Well, keep in mind that every child has free will. And so you can only do your best. You can give them the foundation as best you can, the spiritual formation. But every child will eventually have their own free will to accept that or possibly, God forbid, to reject it. That's very similar to the parable in the gospel where the Lord scatters seeds. Some falls on good soil, some falls on rocky ground, which means that it sprouts up right away, but then withers away. Some falls among thorns, and then sometimes the world comes and chokes off that life that you've given them. Maybe when the kids are in college and get exposed to partying and all sorts of things or false philosophies. See, college is a very tough time. If you send your kids to secular colleges, there's so much partying, promiscuity, alcohol, and drugs. And combine that with oftentimes very mediocre Catholic presence or Catholic campus ministry, combine that with what they're learning in the classrooms, sociology and a false view of the Bible and history, or looking at the Bible just as a piece of literature. And so when you combine those three things, the moral temptations, the false philosophy they're getting in so-called theology or philosophy or history or sociology, and combine that with maybe a real lack of good, solid, Orthodox, Eucharistic, Marian Catholicism, which might be lacking on the secular college campus if they don't have a strong Newman Center, or in so-called Catholic colleges that really aren't Catholic and not really teaching the faith, it is challenging for the child to preserve their faith in that kind of environment. So what I'd recommend is get down on your knees and pray for your child. Have masses said for your child. I know one mom, when the teenage daughter started to stray a little bit, she had three masses said for her daughter, and almost within a few weeks, the child was back on track, back to confession, back to the sacraments. And I'd recommend that. Just go to your local parish and in the course of the next year, get three masses said for each of your kids. And it really does. The mass is of infinite value. It's incredible. It's the sacrifice of Christ. It has infinite value. So even one mass can convert a person. And they say that one mass said for you while you're alive is worth maybe countless masses offered for you after you're dead. So try that. Pray the rosary every day for your kids. Try to keep the relationship. Keep the lines of communication open. Try to keep the relationship with your child. And I would say that's really one of the most important things about parenting is the relationship. Josh McDowell says that rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. We have this in the Catholic Church. You have people that don't have a relationship with Christ. They're not going to follow the rules, and so they lead to rebellion. But rules with a relationship leads to response. So develop and keep the lines of communication open with the teenager, with the college kid, with the young adult. Try to remain open in communication. A lot of it is the hidden work of grace. It's your own faithfulness, your own prayer, your communions, your going to confession, your rosaries, your hidden sacrifices that make all the difference. That's right. By the way, that's my mom and that's my dad next to And they're married 47 years, so that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And they were married on September 8th, 1958, Our Lady's birthday. And of course, they dedicated their marriage to Our Lady. They went to Lourdes in Ireland on their honeymoon, spent many weeks with Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary. They're very close. Frank Duff. In fact, the priest, Father Zoll, who did their wedding, went with them on their honeymoon. Did you all know that? So there were three of them there on the honeymoon. Father Zoll, who, it took him 2 years to get my dad in the Legion, because my dad was reluctant to join, but one day my dad went to confession to Father Zoll, and Father Zoll said, for your penance, join the Legion of Mary. So he's been in it now for 47 years. I say, Dad, what did you confess to get 47 years of penance? But it was a great blessing. And then my sister Adele is here as well. She's the president of the Legion of Mary for the Diocese of Philadelphia. Her husband Steve is also in the Legion as well. So one of our, my other sister married a young man who was also in the Legion of Mary as well. So it's been a vocation, a way of life for us. And what a great blessing it was that I joined when I was 10, my sister when she was 12, my other sister when she was 8. And all three of us, thanks be to the grace of God, have remained involved with the Church and with the Legion all these years. So it's definitely something to keep in mind for yourself and for your kids as well, especially like the kids here at Regina Chaley. We have at Holy Family Academy in Manassas, which is very similar as far as the philosophy to Regina Chaley. They have two or three Legion of Mary groups, and they have 15 or 20 kids in each one. And they're out there visiting the nursing homes and doing all sorts of great work, and what a great thing it'll be that that these future apostolic souls will be able to reach so many people in the future. Yeah, let's do a closing prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. inspired by this confidence, we fly unto Thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To Thee we come, before Thee we stand. Sinful and sorrowful, O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in Thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.